is you're a rainmaker. Help me preach that. Turn to someone and say, hey, man, you're a rainmaker. Tell them that this morning. Let me read something funny before I start. A man asked his wife what she'd like for her birthday. She replied, I'd love to be six again. On the morning of her birthday, he got her up bright and early, and off they went to the local theme park. What a day! He put her on every single ride at the park, the death slide, the screaming loop, the wall of fear, everything there was. Wow. 5 hours later, they staggered out of the theme park, her heart reeling, her stomach upside down. Right to McDonald's they went, where the husband ordered her a Big Mac along with extra fries and a refreshing chocolate shake. Then it was off to see a movie, the new Star Wars movie. They had hot dogs, popcorn, Pepsi, and M&Ms. What a fabulous adventure. Finally, she wobbled home with her husband and collapsed into bed. He leaned over her and lovingly asked, well, dear, what's it like to be six again? One eye opened, the wife said, you idiot, I meant my dress size. You're a rainmaker. 1 Kings chapter 18. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. And Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to Mount Carmel. He bowed down to the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. He went and looked and said, there's nothing. He said, go and look seven times. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So Elijah said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops. You know what happened in the meantime? That the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance at Jezreel. Lord, thank you for your word that is alive and filled with power, that is inspired, inerrant, infallible, that is milk and meat and bread, that is a mirror that heals us, delivers us, and changes us. We thank you for your word today, God. Anoint your word, anoint your servant, anoint your people, anoint all that hear. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Elijah had prophesied 3.5 years before this that it would stop raining. It was an act of prophetic judgment against the backslidden nation. And sure enough, for that 3.5 years, it had not rained. But Elijah discerned that the seasons were changing. And so he prophesied for the rain to come. My first point to you today is say it. God can't do it until you say it. You have to look into the face of the droughts and famines, the discouraging wantedness of life, those places of fruitlessness and failure, by the Spirit of God, and hear the whisper of heaven coming across the shores of your soul, until you can say into that gap, into that darkness, into that formation of oppression, everything's about to change, man. I hear something different than this. I've heard something from God. This is your summer of miracles. I heard something from God. Your family is going to be saved. I heard something from God. Breakthrough's coming. Your business is about to launch into a new stratosphere. I heard something from God. Miracles are coming. Miracles are coming. Miracles are coming. And so Elijah said it. And this is important. The wonderful Holy Spirit will always alert us when it's time for something to change. And I just want to say to you, it's time for something to change in Jesus' name. It's time for things to change. Don't wait for a season to show you what it holds for you. Boldly declare at its very beginning what God will do before its ending. And I'm here to tell you in Jesus' name, this is your season of rain, your season of answer, your season of deliverance. God's visiting the world and is ready to pour out thunderous rainstorms of revival. I was ministering, I just mentioned that church, Influencers Church, in beautiful Adelaide, Australia. It was May of last year. I was speaking at their yearly conference, and I'd flown the day before, and in the middle of the night, the Lord said to me, I want you to prophesy that it's going to rain here. I said, yes, sir, I'll do it. I got up, went to the services, and I kind of forgot about that. In the middle of my message, the Lord said to me, remember, no, I told you to prophesy. Just stop what you're doing and do it now. So right in the middle of my message, I just stopped preaching. I said, the Lord said it's going to rain. I said, now can I go back to my sermon? I went back to my sermon, and then he said it again before the end. Prophesy it's going to rain. The last time I prophesied to rain was toward the end of my message, and then I heard a thunderous noise in the big stage like this at their church. And I thought it stunned me because it was so loud on the stage, and I thought it was some kind of mechanical issue, like an air conditioning, exploding or falling apart. It sounded like metal on metal, that kind of just roar. And so I looked at the pastor, like, is everything okay? And I finally just stopped preaching because it was that loud, thundering through the whole auditorium. And I said, Pastor, is everything okay? You know, and the whole church started laughing in unison. Then they screamed at me, it's raining, it's raining. Now, the important thing is this, it hadn't rained for 400 days. And so before I finished the prophetic message on rain, it started raining. Now, here's the really cool thing. It rained for 100 straight days in Adelaide, longer than that. The day that I prophesied it would rain there, their reservoir was at 2%. They were activating their desalination plant in order to convert seawater into fresh water so they could water their plants and people could have water. It was that bad. By the end of that 100-day or 150-day period, it rained very long, their reservoir was so full, they were releasing water from it. So I just want to say to you, I actually got a note from the church. Hey, Pastor, thanks for the prophecy about rain. Can you please prophesy it'll stop raining? I said, well, I don't have a word about that, but they said, we're drowning. I said, well, God's just making up for lost time. Come on now. Don't get tired of the blessing. Amen. If you'll keep thanking God for what he's doing, he'll keep doing it. But anyways, that happened again in Northern California 2 years ago. The same kind of things happened. Dare to declare God's will and God's word over your life. Anybody can see what's wrong, but kingdom people see and say how God's going to make it right. Famine never leaves our lives until it's commanded to. You have to tell the devil, no more will you steal blessings from my life. No more withheld blessing. No more stolen harvest. And you have to look into the bleakness of circumstantial negativity and declare God's voice and will into that world. When we say what we hear, we will see what we say. Elijah boldly said, I heard something from heaven. I heard the sound of rain. I heard the sound of rain. I heard the sound of rain. Come on. He said, I heard something different. Stop looking at what your eyes see and start listening to what your spirit hears. Stop letting circumstances control your praise, your faith, your joy, your happiness, your vision, and let your eyes be open into that realm. Let your ears be open into that realm. God's saying something different than what your eyes are seeing. God's saying something different than the circumstances around us. Don't build your news and your worldview from CNN or Fox. Build it from the Holy Bible. Build it from the Holy Spirit. Build it from the gifts of the Spirit in your life. So he said, I see abundance coming, not just normalcy. God loves to pour out abundance where there's been lack. Now come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's about the rain, man. Just tell them that it's about the rain. The second point to my message today is important because after sensing and being convinced of the will of God that the drought was to end, the drought created a famine, the famine created suffering economically, in every way. People were being impoverished. People were being starved. There were all kinds of calamity because their agrarian economy was totally dependent on these cycles of rain and harvest and all that would happen. And so the season of suffering was over. But Elijah knew it's one thing to hear what God wants to do. It's another thing to pray for that thing to come to pass. My second point is this. Pray it. Prayer is the bridge in between God's will being revealed and God's will being fulfilled. You got to pray it through. Prayer is a process. Prayer is a journey. Prayer is where we give birth to the will of God in the earth. Don't pray the problem. Pray the promise. Elijah didn't pray, oh God, I want you to notice today it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. And so don't waste your prayer time instructing God on the difficulties of your current reality. He doesn't need an update about your circumstances. What he wants to hear is his voice in your voice. He wants to hear his word in your word. He wants to hear back in his ear the thing he's spoken into your ear. He wants you to pray the promise, not the problem. And so Elijah's not praying, oh God, this horrible drought. He's saying, rain, 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 rain. And so he bows down. He gets into the birthing position. He's on his knees and he puts his head between his knees, and he's down here. He's probably rocking like I do and like Lou Engels does and like some intercessors do. He's kneeling. He's rocking. He says, rain come, rain come, rain come, rain come, rain come. And so he's prayed a little while, and he feels good in his spirit. He looks over to his servant. Go look for it. Because prayer births an expectation that what you've asked for is going to come. But let's talk about prayer a little bit more. Let's talk about what God wants to do in prayer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Who does God answer prayer for? Everyone. Who does God open doors for? Everyone. Who finds what they seek for? Everyone. Jesus said there's no conditions. I don't have stop in the body of Christ. We've allowed this kind of segregation. People say, well, I have a prayer ministry. I appreciate that, but so should everybody. Prayer is not to be delegated to some special intercessor who does all your praying. You, my friend, are a rainmaker. You, my friend, are a world shaper, a history maker. So Jesus said this now, expanding on our hope and our faith, giving us encouragement about the outcome. Here's what he said in verse 9. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Oh, God loves to answer prayers. God loves to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are pure toward him. Just turn your notes over. Let me read some things to you that I wrote. Prayer produces power. Little prayer equals little power. More prayer equals more power. Much prayer equals much power. Prayer changes things. Prayer shapes history. Prayer releases God's will and word to be done. Prayer unties the hand of a willing God to intervene on the behalf of his children. Prayer strengthens the believer. Prayer connects us to God. Prayer reinforces the defeat of the enemy. Prayer stops the devil. Prayer brings heaven to the earth. Prayer heals families and nations. Prayer unlocks the supernatural. Prayer releases the bound. around. Prayer brings restoration to our lives and to all those that are suffering. Prayer brings salvation to the lost. Prayer heals the sick. Prayer produces God's peace. Prayer releases God's wisdom. Prayer softens our heart. Prayer fills us with love for people. God gives us love for the people we pray for. Prayer fills us with the Holy Spirit. Prayer changes us. Prayer is important. Prayer is necessary. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is hearing from God. Prayer is walking with God. Prayer is acknowledging God. Prayer is surrendering to the will of God. Prayer is being used by God to accomplish His purpose. Prayer is a beautiful thing, baby. Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, be discouraged. Well, Pastor, why do people get discouraged? Because the answer doesn't come as quickly as we hoped. And he said this: there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now, this judge is a miserable person. He's not in any way a reflection of God. There was in the same city a widow, and she came to the judge saying, "Get justice for me of my adversary." But the judge would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Pastor, what's the point of this parable? It's that persistence is a necessary requirement in your prayer life. It's the consistency of prayer over periods of time that produce the greatest results. So don't stop praying and listen, just wear the devil out. So Elijah's praying one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times. Seven in the Bible is a picture of completion. It means completion. Pastor, how long should I pray until it shows up? Push, pray until something happens. How long should I pray for my family until they're saved, delivered in God's will? How long should I pray for America until revival comes? How long should I pray for my business until it's blessed to the place you want it to be? How long should I pray for this? That you keep praying, you keep praying, you keep praying, you keep praying. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop now. Don't stop now, don't stop now, don't stop. You keep pressing in. Elijah prayed seven times. Get to your seventh. The fulfillment and completion of what you're believing and praying for. Pray it through. Pray it to the end. Ask for it because God's promised it. Seek for it because you know it's God's will. Knock for it because you refuse to live without it. And so he prays. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. May there be a constant, continual, unbroken dialogue in your heart with your God. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is hearing from God. Prayer is being receptive. You can be in the middle of complex business deals. You can be in the middle of all kinds of things and still be talking to God. Your spirit all night long while you're sleeping, your spirit was talking to God. Why not do it in the daytime? Why not involve your mind? Why not engage your life? Why not say little prayers? Why not just speak little prayers? Listen, you can whisper a prayer. You can think a prayer. God hears them all. Just keep your dialogue with God constant, continual in your walk with God. James 5 talks about the very chapter we've read about Elijah. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your trespasses, your weaknesses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confession disarms the enemy. When you're willing to acknowledge your human need, it's an act of humility. Prayer itself is an act of humility. But asking someone else to pray for you, I pray for people all the time, every week, hundreds of people personally. And so I'll ask them, I'm a gentleman, I always say, can I pray for you? Three or four times a week, someone will say, no, I'm okay. And I'll be thinking, you ain't okay. You need more prayer than the 10 people before you that all ask for prayer. When the person says, I don't need something, man, what are you saying to God? I can do life without you. Prayer says, I can't do life without you. And when you invite other people, listen, the more people you invite into your world by your integrity, openness, vulnerability, the more powerful your life will become. Stop worrying about what people think. I minister, so I'll be ministering to hundreds of pastors this week. And it's one of the things is pastors are afraid of expressing personal weakness or vulnerability because they might think people think less of them. And I'd be like, stop it. People will think more of you, not less of you, when you're really... They all know you're human anyway. Stop trying to act like you're an angel floating on a little bubble cloud that you never have any issues. People ask my wife, what's it like to live with the prophet? My God, it must be like heaven on earth. She's like, well, I make him make the bed and take out the garbage. That's pretty prophetic stuff. It goes on, Elijah was a man, let me finish the first part of 16. The effective, fervent prayer, effective energy, or energy is the word. Fervent zeluo, the word for red hot, the red hot, powerful, turned on, energy filled prayer of a righteous man. That means someone walking in their redemption in Christ. The righteousness of Christ inside of you makes you a prayer warrior. I am standing with God because of Jesus. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. He'll do it because of me. It ain't about you. See, when I prayed for that woman whose husband was dying of cancer in May, I didn't say, oh God, you know I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy to even lasso the sandal of your shoe, Lord Jesus. I'm unworthy to stand in this position. But you are, I pray for a dewdrop of mercy to fall on the brow of this fevered person that they might experience your, I just said, I got the name. It's like a credit card. I got the name of Jesus. When I say Jesus over the cancer, it's as if Jesus was standing there. The cancer can't tell if he was here or come on now. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Righteous is identity. When you know who you are, your prayer becomes powerful. I used to, with Melody, when my kids were little, you know, I haven't prayed for dinner. Hey, kids, bless the dinner, you know. And they're you know, PK kids can do anything. And they could do it by, like, a robot. And they, okay, God, thank you for this food. Bless the missionaries in New Guinea. Blah, 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 blah. And so every now and then I'd say, stop it! Pray like you mean it. Then the kid, oh God, bless this food and my father. Listen, the Bible says if you eat anything poisonous, it won't hurt you. I've traveled the whole world and eaten things like monkey brains. So here comes, I'm Africa, here comes monkey brains. I'm thinking, OMG. I wish I could order some Kentucky Fried right now. I'm staring at it. It's in the skull. I'm in the jungles of Africa. And I'm like, it's a delicacy. They're so excited. Hey, they're so excited for me. A delicacy. I'm like, oh, thank you. So I said, let's just take a moment to pray. Dear God, sanctify this food in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. You pray seriously when you're in the mission field over your food. He said this. He was a man with a nature like ours. In fact, Elijah was a hothead. People making fun of him because he was short and bald. What did he do? He called bears to kill him. He was like, don't mess with that prophet. Every now and then I'll run into an Old Testament prophet that somehow has forgot there's a New Testament. God's anointing me to prophesy judgment. Really? Have you read the Bible? The new part. Grace and mercy, forgiveness. The new kind of prophetic voice. So he prayed. He's a man like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heavens gave their rain. The earth produces fruit. The Message Bible says it like this. Elijah, for instance, human like us, prayed hard it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. He prayed again that it would rain, and it did. The showers came, and everything started growing again. Now, this is important. This is very important. Never settle for prolonged seasons of famine or drought. God doesn't want you to adjust your life for a temporary condition. God wants you to change that condition. You have to get this. We're not called, God hasn't called us to lower our theology to match our circumstances. God's called us to change our circumstances to match our theology. And that means if it doesn't look like heaven on earth, change it. The kingdom come, the kingdom come, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. We're going to start a weekly prayer meeting here, public prayer meeting soon. I think on Saturdays, just going to pray like crazy. I'm praying that it turns into a 7-day event, but we're going to start one day a week. And I'll give you the times on that soon. Keep praying. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep praying. Okay. Third point, expect it. Keep looking for the promise you've prayed to show up. Now, this is massively important because Elijah, from the very first instance of his prophetic declaration that rain was coming, says to his servant, go look. He's praying. He said, go look. First time. Servant runs over to the cliff, looks out to the ocean. Doesn't see even one cloud. Comes back and said, there's nothing there. Elijah prays again. Sends the servant. The same thing. He goes, he looks, spies, sees nothing. They go through that ritual 7 times. Now, can you imagine if you're the servant, by the 6th time, you're like, what's wrong with you, man? You keep looking for something that's not there. Now, you have to get this. Prophetic people never stop looking for what God has promised to do. Expectation is the atmosphere of the miraculous. The man gave heed to Peter and John, expecting to receive something from them. Expectation is the birthing ground of breakthrough and miracles. We have to expect. What are you expecting? What are you in your heart believing God for? If you're not looking for it, you're not really expecting it. Prophecy impregnates us with a spirit of expectation. God's about to give you abundance in the same place where you've experienced famine. Oh, He said, keep looking, keep looking, keep looking, keep looking, keep looking. It's got to happen. Keep looking. Come on. Your expectations got to get back online. Your hope, your faith, your positivity, your atmosphere of expectation, your greenhouse of hope must become once again secured because the promises are ready to shoot up. But God needs your expectation to match His intention so that you don't miss out on the promise of this moment in your life. Something good's about to happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, something good's about to happen. Keep looking for it. And so he's looking, he's looking, he's looking. He says, hey, I see a cloud like a man's hand. Let's just say it like this. I see the hand of God. See, prayer births inside of us this both determination and desire and expectation. And so people that are praying for things see them before people that aren't. I see it, a cloud, a hand, the hand of God. Elijah said, that's it. That's it. That's it. Elijah said, you just saw what I heard. See, when we say what we hear, we'll see what we say. When we pray what we hear, we'll see what we pray. When it's time for restoration, so what happened is Elijah said, okay, go tell Ahab to get in his chariot, get ahead of this thing. See, when Mary and I were, I think the only child we were fully ready for was our last one, our fourth child. And we, with Melody and Matthew and Timothy, we didn't even find out their sex. We just wanted to be surprised by the whole thing. With Christina, we found out the room was done. Her room was done 3 months before she came. Now I have to get this. God loves it when we prepare a place for him before he's even come. God loves it when we act like what he said, when we act like we really believe what he said he would do. And Elijah said, this thing's really going to happen. Go tell Ahab it's really going to happen. If he doesn't move now, instead of being ahead of it, he'll get caught up in it till his wheels will slow down. Tell him to move it. And then the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah. Now, he didn't belong to LA Fitness. He didn't wake up every morning and run 5 kilometers, and he wasn't drinking protein shakes. Okay? He wasn't doing, leg days. So the Spirit of God came upon him. He girded up his garment. So back then, men wore these long garments. He pulled it up to his waist, tied it off, and he started running. And when he started running, something happened to him. And he was able to do physically, supernaturally, what he was unable to do. See, just start running. And God will come into your run, and suddenly you'll start accelerating beyond. God can do in 10 weeks what you've lost in 10 years. God can make up in 10 months what 20 years took from you. God can accelerate. Come on, acceleration is coming. And it is a part of restoration. Yeah, it rained 150 days, whatever it was, in Adelaide until they begged me, pray for it to stop raining. What God was just catching up. Stopping. It rained in California, and I prophesied 2 years ago that the famine will be over. To the Assembly of God pastors of the large church in Visalia at a meeting in Las Vegas, I said, the famine's over in Northern California. This gentleman, when I was there, he showed me the headlines of the paper. Governor says the drought is over in Northern California. They're releasing water from Lake Shasta. They don't have enough storage for it. It all ended. God wants you to really believe what he said is going to happen and get ahead of it and prepare for it. We started our church 14 years ago. I leased, and then we bought a large building. We had 120 members, 80 adults or so, and 1,000-seat auditorium, a little bit smaller than this, on 19th Avenue. And so here we are. I didn't buy a church for where we were. I bought a church for where we were going. So there's 80 people. Just imagine today, 80 people in the church today. It'd be massively empty. And they're all staring at each other like, we don't need a building this big. I said, no, you don't understand. In 2 years, this building will be too small. So in 2 or 3 years, we literally were at 4 services a day. It was too small. It happened. God accelerated things. God accelerated things. God advanced his purpose. God fulfilled his promise. God restored our losses. God allowed us to catch up. You're going to catch up, baby. Pastor, I've been waiting a long time. Don't worry. He's good about catching you up in life to where you should be. Oh, my beloved friends, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear the sound of a heavenly deluge coming. I hear the sound of breakthrough. I hear the sound of answers and celebrations and joyous and salvations. Let me read this in closing. Prayer produces power. Little prayer equals little power. More prayer equals more power. Much prayer equals much power. Prayer changes things. Prayer shapes history. Prayer releases God's will and word to be done. Prayer unties the hand of a willing God to intervene on the behalf of his children. Prayer strengthens the believer. Prayer connects us to God. Prayer reinforces the defeat of the enemy.
Prayer stops the devil. Prayer heals the broken. Prayer brings heaven to earth. Prayer heals families and nations. Prayer unlocks the supernatural. Prayer releases the bound. Prayer brings restoration. Prayer brings salvation. Prayer heals the sick. Prayer produces peace. Prayer releases wisdom. Prayer softens our heart. Prayer fills us with love for people. Prayer fills us with the Holy Spirit. Prayer changes us. Prayer is important. Prayer is necessary. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is hearing from God. Prayer is walking with God. Prayer is acknowledging God. Prayer is surrendering to God. And prayer is being used by God. Come on, stand on your feet and give God a shout of praise this morning, this church. Someone shout. Someone shout. Holy Spirit, I ask you to guide us. Prayer team, would you join me at the front? Guide us, Holy Spirit, in these moments that we would become laser-like focused to release the heavenly intention toward our earthly need, that we would prophesy into the midst of darkness that light was coming, that we would prophesy into drought that the rain was coming, that we would prophesy into hurt that healing was coming. Just right now, would you allow the Holy Spirit to focus on a couple areas of your life that there's been a prolonged drought of unanswered prayers, of something that's gone wrong in someone's life or world, a family member, your marriage, your business, your health, whatever it is, and we're just going to command it to rain. Come on, we're going to command it to rain. There is the sound of the abundance of rain. We're going to command it to rain, then we're going to pray. So right now in that area, I want you to say it's going to rain. The blessing of God's coming into my life. My family will be saved. My business will be blessed. My health will be restored. By his stripes, I am healed in Christ's name. And that, so right now, just for the next 90 seconds, I want you to begin to pray a rain-making prayer. Come on, begin to pray. Father, we pray for the rain to come. We pray for salvation to come. Deliverance and breakthrough and healing and restoration. We pray for our city, our nation, our world. In the name of Jesus, come on, pray like an army. Pray like you know God hears your prayer. Thank you, God. Mato soko bandigale, you're a prayer-answering God. You answer our prayers. La manda sika bosho la manda silia la la boto la manda basada boto da baki. Come on, something's happening, something's shifting, something's changing, something's moving.